Okay, morning. Today's daf and chulin zitas. We are actually I have no idea where we are. That's fantastic. It's fantastic. Take one day off and then I'm lost. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Malakish. Okay, good.
Seven lines.
Amar Papa Mishmei Deravam.
No,
not that.
10 lines.
Okay. Oh, even a little bit further up. Oh, right up to Nara Pashte. Okay. Sorry for the delay. Okay. Yesterday, our first real course in anatomy yesterday, bovine anatomy. We spoke yesterday about the parameters of the kanim. Okay, as we've discussed already numerous times, and this is going to be our topic for chulin, especially the first two prakim. And the shechita has to be the makam shechita has to be going through the neck of the animal, front of the neck of the animal, and to cut through both the trachea and the esophagus. We are going to be ignoring the esophagus. Nothing. We have nothing against the esophagus. I'm sure it's wonderful. But the for reasons which I'm sure were more practical, the focus is on the trachea. Now I imagine a reason why is because the trachea is the first pipe that you're going to be hitting, and so I figure that once you get the trachea right, so the esophagus kind of goes for the ride, comes along for the ride. But whatever the case is our focus is on the trachea, and what exactly is the most northern point of the makom shechita when it comes to the trachea. Really, if one is just a little bit more intelligent, so I'd say the point that's most cranial. Okay, in other words, we're heading in the direction of the head, and so what point in the trachea is the kasher makom shechita? As I'm sure was discussed yesterday, when it comes to the trachea, so the trachea has cartilage rings that basically form the entire trachea. Each one of the rings does not make a full circle, but rather it's a horseshoe. Where basically as you are now going from the front to the back, so it is going to be a ring that is going to be missing a side on the back, meaning the part that's facing the back. So, and that's the way the tracheas operate up until the last one. The last one or the first one again, the one that is closest to the cranium. So that one is a full ring. The Gemara describes as the Tabasa Gadola. That full ring, right, it's great by the way, I have an ENT in this room by the way, and I'm talking like this. Okay, it's whatever. So that last ring is a full cartilage ring that goes all the way around, and so this is what the Gemara describes as Tabas Gadola. In fact, yesterday we saw it's Ha Tabas, it's the ring, meaning as opposed to all the other rings, so this is the one that makes full circle, goes all the way around. And then on top of that, there's more cartilage, and the kova, what the Gemara describes as a helmet to the trachea. It's shaped like a helmet, looks like a helmet. You have to be a little bit creative in the way you look at it, but okay. Anyway, so there's the kova, and on top of that, there's also a little more cartilage above that. The Gemara describes that as chitim, there's wheat kernels. I guess, again, with a little bit of imagination, so these little pieces of cartilage, right, are described as chitim. So, and that is just above the kova. So with all that stated, so now with the full anatomy, if you have pictures, by the way, they're really helpful, right? This book, the Tmune Chol, right? The blue book, if you will. We had it last time in our last go around of the Masechta. We had it. We have it. Obviously, we have it again. It's really fantastic. Color pictures, like real pictures. It has both schematics and it has the real thing as well, right? Schematics are just much easier because they draw lines for you. So but in any event though, so wonderful. So we have this, we have the trachea in front of us, and now what is the most cranial point of the trachea in which is it going to be a valid shechita? And the answer is it's a machlokus. That's the answer. The answer is it's a lengthy machlokus amongst Tanaim and amongst Amarim exactly where the correct makam shechita is. There is a cranial point. You for sure, if you go north of it, it's no good. If you go south of it, that's fine. It's just exactly what that point is. That was yesterday's discussion. Today, the beginning of Shir today, we're going to do a little bit more amongst the Machlokas, Tanaim, Amoraim, where exactly this Makom is. And then for a good part of today, it's going to get much more Lumdish. Today's Daf is a more Lumdish Daf than yesterday's Daf was. They're both good. Both Dafim are good. Just, highlight of things to come. Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Achshe Bechuda Dekova. Rabbi Shimon Malakish, I gave a hechsher, Yud Ches Amud Beis, and about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So Rav Shimon Lakish gave a hechsher, he gave a kosher certification, if you unchuda the kova, all the way to the top of the kova. So to which, Kari Allah, Rabbi Yochanan, Gisa Gisa. Rav Yochanan heard that his brother-in-law Reish Lakish was going all the way to that point on the trachea, which is one of the most northern points, one of the most cranial points of the trachea. So he said, "Gisa gisa." Rashi explains that to mean that's just too much. It's too much. Also, by the way, I think right. The word you thought like me, right? The word giso is also brother-in-law, right? We saw that in Yevamos. And again, this is Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan talking to each other, so they were brother-in-laws. So it's not a perfect shot. The giso usually is a reference to where you have a pair of guys marrying a pair of sisters. So okay, it's not exactly that, right? Reish Lakish married the sister of Yochanan. Anyway, we move on. Amar Papi Mishmei Rava Paga Bechite Treifa. So Rav Papi says in the name of Rava that if you hit the chitim, if you hit these, again, they're not wheat kernels, but in other words, they are cartilage that exists on the cranial side of the trachea that look like wheat kernels. That's called the chitim. So if they are more cranial than the tabasa gadola, so it's treif. Now the word he used to describe it is paga. And even as we are trying to give anatomical descriptions of where exactly the makom shechita is, so not only do we get a little bit confused by the actual anatomy, but we also get confused by simple words like paga, like pogeya. So what does that mean? So it could mean a couple of things. So ibailu paga v'naga b'andichsi v'yivka bo v'yamos. So on one hand, pigia could simply mean contact, meaning actual contact. We have a clear pasuk in the Navi that tells us v'yivka bo v'yamos, meaning that's obviously, if somebody dies because I was pogea him, it means that there was actual contact. Or maybe pegia just simply means approaching the chitim, but you don't even have to make contact, and already that's no good. So we have a pasuk which clearly does not mean physical contact. It just simply means approaching. Okay? And so the Gemara says, even Rava's psak, we are not sure. So the Gemara quotes now in the name of Rava. Now this is Rav Papa, right? Previously it was Rav Papi. Okay, so Shar Bechitik Shera. As long as you leave over some chiti, it's kasher. So again, so we are now north of the Tabas Gadola, more cranial than the Tabas Gadola, and you are hitting the chitim. As long as some of it's left over, you were in the Makom Hashechita, it's good. So Amar Rav Amema Mar Yunuka Hava Kamina Kamad Rav Chia Berei Rav Avia VaAmar Li Shai Bechitik Shera. Now I was in fact in front of Rabbi Chia. I said the same thing as well, that if you are Shari Bechitik, as long as you leave over some of the chitim, so then it's kosher. So Amar Li Ravina Rav Ashi Amar Li Rav Shemin Misuvra Ikla Marzucha La Asrein. So now Marzucha goes to the town Vidarish, and this is how he publicly says it: Shir Bechitik Shera. That if I leave over some of the chitim, it's going to be kasher. Marbar Ravashi Amar Paga Bechitik Shera Shar Bechite Treifa. Marbar Ravashi says it differently. He says that if you're pogea bechiti, if you just approach the chitim, so you were up to, but you didn't hit the chitim, so that's okay. But once you hit the chitim, you are now off the mark. You are chutz mi makom, and the animal would be an animal that's treifa. Vehilchasa, and after giving us now a repository of different positions amongst what exactly is the makom shechita, what is not, as it relates to the trachea. The hilchos of the Gemara says the halacha is mishipuei kova ulamatik shera behind the deshar bechiti. So from the shipuei kova, from the quote unquote the helmet, right? That's the cartilage that exists just above the tabasa gadola, that big piece of cartilage that exists above it. So from that and below, it would be kasher behind the deshar bechiti, and that is synonymous with shar bechiti. Please. There is space. Okay? So it's above the Tabasa Gadola. This is the most makel position. Oh, good. This is the most makel position. It's the most lenient position that has been discussed up until this point in time. Rav Nachman achshir b'shipur kova ulamata. So Rav Nachman was machshir from the shipur kova and below. So amalei Rav Chanan bar Rav Ketina le Rav Nachman keman lo k'rabban v'lo k'rab Yosef Rav Yehuda. To which the Gemara says, we have to all slow down. Because remember now, we are now well into the Gemara on this discussion. This is day two of the Gemara's discussion of what exactly is the Makom Hashechita. Now, you know, in day one, we started with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah brought in two opinions. Do you know that within those two opinions of the Mishnah, do you know what was the most cranial point of the trachea? The most cranial point was the Tabas Gadola. The only question that we dealt with, is how much of the Tabas Gadola do you have to hit? Do you have to hit all of it or the majority of it? But that was it. That was the most cranial point. That was the most cranial point of the Makom Shechita. So in other words, you cannot go any more cranial than the Tabas Gadol, according to the Mishnah. So what kind of strange discussion are we having right now, where we're going to the Kova, we're going to the Chitim, all of them are more cranial than the Tabas Gadolah. And the Amoraim are all comfortable and seemingly fine with it, when meanwhile you go to the starting point, which is the Mishnah, and the most lenient position that we had in the Mishnah was Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, who said that the majority of the cut has to be within the Tabas Gadolah, and nothing more cranial than the Tabas Gadolah. Even Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda's more makel still requires that the rov has to be the Tabas Gadolah. So, like, what kind of discussion are we having? It's a really powerful question. And to which, come on, loka rabban loka Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So Amar Leis Rav Nachman says, and for those who have been around long enough in the daf, you'll hear Rav Nachman and the personality of Rav Nachman shining through. So ana lo chilak yadan v'lo bilak yadana. So what are you quoting me? You're quoting me opinions. That's great. I don't know chilak, I don't know bilak. Now, what exactly those words mean? So Rashi, in one of his pshatim, Rashi says, it's just an expression, meaning it's like in English, right? Well, we don't have exactly parallel expression in English, but I don't know him and I don't know him, meaning don't bother me with those opinions. Meaning, I'm good, Rav Nachman says. I'm perfectly comfortable with my opinion moving the Makom HaShechita more cranial than what was described in the Mishnah. The Mishnah described the Tabas Gadolah. I'll go further up. And why? Ana Shmaisa Yadana, because I know Shmaisa. Meaning I know the opinions of the Amoraim. I have a Misora, and I'm going to go with my Misora. Now, I know this is generally speaking not normally how we talk when talking about and contrasting Tanayim and Amoraim. Usually, when there's an opinion amongst the Tanayim, that's it. Meaning, that's the starting point, and Amoraim can't argue with that. But again, this is Rav Nachman, and as we're going to see in just a moment, Rav Nachman does have a Tana to rely his position on. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan Bar Amrila, Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavta, Amar Rav Chanina Bar Amrila, Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Shua Ben Levi. Okay, exactly who said it, subject to various Mesovers, but whoever said it, Bishipur Kova Lamatak Shera. And from the Shipur Kova and below, it's going to be Kosher. So already we are well north. We are more cranial than that of the Tabas Gadolah. And I have a Masorah, says Rav Nachman, that's fine. V'am Rav Yishuv ben Levi Mugremes to Rabban Ekshera l'Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. U'd Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Ekshera l'Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. And now the Gemara introduces us to the Tana who actually agrees with this position. Meaning if basically what the Gemara does is compares and contrast the various Tanayim. The most chamor position is that of the Tanakama of yesterday's Mishnah. The Mishnah, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Tanakama's viewpoint, that in order for the Shechita to be Kasher Shechita, the entire cut has to be within the Tabas Gadolah, the most cranial of the trachea rings. So that is the Tanakama's viewpoint, which means that all of the cut has to be within the Tabas Gadolah, and even if, and this is what I'm sure we discussed yesterday, and even if the majority of it was cut within the Tabas Gadolah, and then, for the last third, you went north, and you went more cranial, and you went outside the Makom Shechita, according to the Tanakama, that's no good. Good. That's the Tanakama's viewpoint. Now, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is going to be more makel. He's going to say that as long as the majority is within the Tabas Gadolah, that's good. But otherwise, no. And then there's actually Shita that's even more makel. And that's Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas. Now, who is he? First of all, he's a Tana. Secondly, we saw him yesterday. So in yesterday's daf, the Gemara quoted a Braisa. The Braisa started in the very last line of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, going to Yud Ches Amud Beis, and the opinion Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas is that he's Mekel. He's more Mekel than even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if you look in yesterday's daf, and you'll see Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, so we don't have full clarity exactly how far north is he ready to go. All we know, Heyed Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas am Gremeshi Kshera. Right, the Braisa says that he testifies that Mugremis is kosher. So from the Braisa in of itself, it's not totally clear. However, the Gemara is now going to make it clear. Now the Gemara says Pshita, now isn't it obvious? No, the Gemara says Ma'od Detem, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas as the Rabbanakai. So Kamash Malan. So I might have thought that Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, who was for sure being Mekel, but maybe he was only being Mekel relative to the Shita of the Tanakama. Maybe he agrees with Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. How do I know that he's even more makel than Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? So that's what we're learning now, that he's more makel. To which the Gemara says, wait one second. That proposal was a fantastic proposal. Why don't we go back and say that? So, Ve'ema Hachinami. So the Gemara says, so let's say that. Meaning, let's say that Rabbi Chanina and Tignus, we know is Mekel, but is only Mekel vis-a-vis the Chachamim. But maybe he agrees with Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda. How do we know that he's more Mekel than even Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Heid Aleha mi Bayelei. So the Gemara says, no, because if that were correct, the formulation of the Braisa when introducing us to Rabbi Chanina ben Tignus should not be Heid, but rather Heid Aleha. If you look back on yesterday's daf, you just look three lines from the top of the Amud, it says, Heid Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. That word, Heid Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, as opposed to Heid Allah, would seem to indicate that he's not just arguing with the opinion above, he's arguing with everything. All opinions above, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus says, I have the following testimony to provide that's more makel than either shita that was just presented. And the Gemara says, and that in fact is the halacha. The halacha follows like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Rav Nachman rules like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. So it's really interesting. We have a Stam Mishnah. It's not a Stam Mishnah. We have a Mishnah in yesterday's daf in Yerches Amud Aleph that presented two opinions. And meanwhile, as far as the halacha is concerned, so if we didn't have Gemara, which we do obviously, but if we didn't have Gemara, so in terms of the ranges of positions, in terms of where is the Makam Hashchita Kasher for the most cranial point of the trachea, so I would have said at most, you just have to cut the majority of the Tabas Gedolah, but you can't, nothing more than that. Less than that, whatever. However you want to say it. But that's it. That is the limit of it. And meanwhile, with the Gemara, we were introduced to a Braisa and numerous Amoraim and the Gemara's conclusion that you can even go further north. You can even go more cranial. You can go all the way to the Shipua Kova, which is where the Chitim are. Again, sections of cartilage that exist more cranial than that of the actual Tabas Gedolah. Continuing in the Gemara.
How far down can you go then?
We're only discussing, I know it's interesting, the Gemara later will discuss what are the lower limits. Okay, that's a later Gemara. Our Gemara right now, in other words, there are two simanim, and obviously that creates four limits altogether, right? So our discussion in the sugya for today and yesterday is only talking about the most cranial point of just the trachea. That's it. So that's for sure kasher. Now, yesterday we saw there was an opinion that we saw, and the way Rashi understood it is that you can't even shecht within the rings of the trachea because those rings don't go all the way around, and so therefore that's not a kasher makam shechita. That was an opinion yesterday, but the Gemara also does not seem to adopt that position as its conclusion. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. So I told you a good part of today's daf is going to be more lumdish in nature, and here we are. Now the Gemara is going to be more lumdish in nature. Now, a bit of an introduction now. There is a Makam Hashchita, and there's something that's above the Makam Hashchita, and I know that we just passed like Antignus Yishocho. Okay, that was just me being confused. Okay, and we just passed like Rabbi Chanim and Antignus. Good. We all understand that. We all know that. Now, for the next bit of Gemara, if we could just forget that for a moment, and because right now we're just going to really speak more in Lumdus. We are going to be focusing on the two opinions of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. And again, let me just say the following as words of introduction. There is obviously now, we're looking at the ring, and let's just call it a circle right now. Okay, we could be more conceptual than practical than pragmatic. And we're looking now at a ring, and there is something where it's a Makom Shechita. And if I go more cranial, then we're outside the Makom Shechita. Now, here's what we think we know. We think we know that, according to the Chachamim, you have to be the entire shechita as you go through the entire circumference of the trachea. So you have to be within the makam shechita, even for the last third. Now remember, when is shechita finished? When is it concluded? Rove. So we're going to call that from our point going forward, marker 51. Okay? So, right, if every one of the markers represents the percentile of how much of the trachea we went through, so when I hit Rove, that's called, we are going to call that marker 51. Good, for obvious reasons. And now, you'll say like this. We'll say like this. When I get to marker 51, so what is that? That's the point. That's the point where now the animal now has lost its chiyus, and if I shechted it in the correct place, the marker 51, so now that was a good shechita. In just a moment, all true, but right now just conceptual, more conceptual right now. In just a moment, what we're going to be learning together is the following. And I'll say it now just because it gives you a good idea of what we're talking about. Let's say, and I know, I just, last Shabbos, I spoke to I spoke to a number of doctors about this, but let's say there's a perforation in the trachea. Okay, I know survival's really difficult to imagine, but let's just say, and not even a perforation in the trachea. Let's say that half of the trachea right now is open, but only half, 50% of the trachea is open. And what I do now with a knife is I go in and I knock off just 1% of the trachea. That will be a kasher shechita. Why? Because again, prior to Rove, it wasn't shechted. After Rove, it shechted. The chiyus is lost when I go from 50 to 51. Good. Okay, and that's the halacha, and we're gonna cite that today, and we're gonna cite that also in the future as well. That's the halacha. So in other words, so point number one to take into consideration is that point of 51, marker 51, that's critical. You can easily make the argument that in order for the shechita to be a good shechita, you must be in the makom shechita by marker 51. What if I was outside the makom, went back into the makom, came out from under the makom, but as long as I was within the makom at marker 51, seemingly that would be okay. The other consideration to take, which is Rov, the idea that when I'm shechting, the majority of the shechita has to be done behechsher. So these two concepts we're going to give a number of different scenarios over the course of this morning, may be at odds with each other as we go through various scenarios. So now let's discuss. I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav Asi, machlokei b'shishachas, shnei shlish v'higrim shlish. So Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Asi that our Mishnah, which has a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Now again, remember what I told you. Forget the halacha for just a moment. Forget Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. We're just focusing on the Mishnah and the two opinions in the Mishnah. So machlokes b'shishachas, shnei shlish v'higrim shlish. If I go, let's say go, 2/3 in the makom shechita, 1/3 outside the makom shechita. So from 0 to marker 66 of the neck, of the trachea, I am in the makom shechita. And then for the last third, from 67 to 100, I went outside the makom shechita. So that's the machlokus of our Mishnah. The Rabbanan Savar Kula Shechita Binan Tebet Habaz Gadol of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Savar Ruba Kekulo. And what are the two positions of our Mishnah? So the Tanakhama would say, no good. Why? Because all of the shechita, all 100% of the shechita must be done within makom shechita. And as opposed to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, no, as long as you have the majority. And over here, you even went beyond the majority. You're at 60. You're at 66 before you took a turn and moved outside the makom shechita. Aval higrim shush v'shachir shnei shish divrei hakol psula. Dechinav kechiyus debi'inan ruba b'shechita v'leka. However, if let's say the first third I was outside the makom shechita, knife then made a turn into the makom shechita. So from 0 to 33, we were chutz l'makom. Then from 33 to the end, we were within the makom. So the argument now that we're providing is that the shechita is no good. No, according to everybody. Why? So what the Gemara spells it out. So divrei hakol psula dechinav kechiyus debi'inan ruba b'shechita v'leka. Because let's now take into consideration from 0 to 51. So let's chart our course of what happened over here from 0 to 51. So from 0 to 33, we were outside the makom. Okay? From 33 to 51, we were within the makom. So what are our numbers right now? 33% was chutz l'makom. 18 was within the makom of the rove, of the 51% rove. And so now what do we have right now? So clearly, most of the shechita was done outside of the makom, and that's why everyone would say it's no good. Wait, okay, just give it a moment, okay? Because we're in the... Let the Gemara... finish the thought. Amar le Rav Chista ad Rabba. So Rav Chista says, you know, if anything, I can argue just the opposite. Because I'll say that the entire machlokas of our Mishnah is what we just got done describing. The first third was outside the makom, and the last two thirds were in the makom. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Savar Midi Dehavei Chatzi Kana Pagam. Now Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda would say it's fine. The first 33% you were outside the makom, it's okay. So what? So what? How about this? And then when I say how about this, this is part of the introduction that we went through. If let's say 50% of the trachea was open, and then I went in with a knife and I just nicked off 50 to 51, that's good. That's the halacha of Chatzi Kana Pagam. And so if you're telling me that that's good over there, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says, okay, over here, same story. If let's say at first 33 I was chutz l'makom, then from 33 to 50 where we're within the makom, that's fine. I'll go even one step further. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say this point, but you can go from 0 to 50 chutz l'makom. As long as 51, I know, we're not I'm just dealing more abstract and conceptually.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, good. Just give me a moment. But if I go now 50 to 51, if I make a turn and I go into the Makom and I nick it from 50 to 51, so then the Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda will tell you that's fine. And the Chachamim, V'Rabbanan, Hasa Makom Shechita, Hakalav Makom Shechita. And the Chachamim say, you can't compare those two cases. The Halacha of Chatzei Kana Pagam tells me what? That if the trachea is already cut 50%, open. In other words, but it's open in the Makom Shechita. You're going, so now you're just following a track that was provided for you in the Makom Shechita. There, if I go from 50 to 51, so that would be fine. Over here, as I'm cutting the trachea, chutz l'makom, and then going back into the makom, that's different. However, so that's where you have a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. However, but if I go 2/3 in the makom shechita and the 1/3 outside the makom shechita, everybody would say, everyone in the Mishnah, meaning the Tanakam and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, would say it's fine. Why? Because we have a very powerful idea in halacha. It's called rov. Rove tells me that as long as I do the majority, we're good. And in fact, yesterday's daf, I'm sure it bothered you. I'm sure it did. The opinion of the Chachamim is really hard to understand. If the majority of the Shechita was done in the Makom Shechita, and then for the last third you went outside, so the Chachamim say it's no good. What the Gemara now is arguing is, no, in that case, everyone would agree that's fine. Why? Because you have the concept of Rove. Amalei Rav Yosef man name alanda uruba dasam lav Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda katani la Dilma Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda katani la. To which the Gemara now counters and says, "Well, how do you know that the Mishnah is going according to everyone? Meaning, the section of the Mishnah that talks about Rov is going according to everybody. Maybe that section of the Mishnah is only going like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda." To which the Gemara says, "Amalei Abai Abai says that's really hard to argue. Auto kol ruba dama Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda katani lahu." You mean to tell me that the countless times that we have in Shas, the idea of Rove, you mean to tell me that the whole institution of Rove is only going like Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda and not like the Chachamim? That's really hard to imagine. So Amalei Anaruba Deshchita Kamin Deshamilu Depligi. To which Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, no. I'm only talking about within the world of Shechita. I'm not turning this into a universal debate of whether we do or do not hold a rove. Of course we hold a rove. Of course everybody holds a rove. But within Shechita, maybe, and the Gemara doesn't give a reason why there would be a difference, but in the world of Shechita, maybe, Shechita is different, and for whatever reason, the Chachamim will simply say that by Shechita, rove is not enough. It has to be that the entire Shechita has to be in the Makom Shechita, even the last third. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end of our first round of today. Again, a discussion of what is significant when it is in the Makom Shechita. Is it the first third, last third, middle third? And as we'll see, we're going to go over numerous permutations.
If the 1/3 is chutz the Makom, that means the cut is not good, but it still can do the Shechita if you go to the right place and do it? Or is the animal
Trif? That's Trif.
What the Gemara is arguing is that right now the animal is nothing, meaning that right now it's got to obviously.
That's Trif.
No, you cut one third in the chutz l'makom.
You're right.
And make it a trefa?
Does it make it a trefa? If it made it a trefa, so then we have nothing to talk about.
So it doesn't make trefa, so we can do another cut.
So that's what the Gemara is arguing. The Gemara is arguing you can continue cutting, and as long as you're going now into the Makom Shechita for that middle third, so what we're arguing is that you're good, because the chiyus comes and goes at marker 51.
So when you say the Shechita is not good, that doesn't mean that cannot be fixed right away. It doesn't mean that it cannot be fixed right away by doing another cut.
Could be. I don't know. The Gemara is assuming right now that the animal does not immediately become a trefa when you are chutz l'makom. Understood.
It says trefa. The one that says 50 to 51 is already trefa already.
Understood your point. Yeah. Understood. Okay, yes, Ben.
The example that he gave, that the 50% is chutz and the last 1% is in the plane and then the animal is kosher, that doesn't make sense, because if the majority of that cut is chutz l'makom, so the majority is not good. So
okay.
How could the 1% overvote the
50%, right? So that 1% now is where the life goes away. The life force is being taken off at that rove, at the point of rove. Okay, good. You're arguing. The Gemara's arguing. Meaning the Gemara doesn't see it one way. Okay. Again. Practical issues don't bother me right now. You'll forgive me. I'm being.
It's not, right?
It really doesn't bother me right now. The Gemara, I'm right now more interested, as the Gemara is clearly, and I'll tell you why the Gemara is more interested. Because we are not discussing the opinion of Chanina ben Antignus. We're not discussing the halacha. In the Mishnah, we're just going over the various opinions in the Mishnah. There are two opinions in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is just more looking at it from a conceptual standpoint. So right now, whether or not you hit the esophagus, you do, you don't. Again, the doctors will know better than me, and the farmers will know better than me. So the halacha is not like either of these opinions. The halacha is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, which is that you can go even further cranial. You can go all the way to the Shipur HaKova.
But that's the place to start the cut. But he's talking about...
This is a conceptual discussion. This is not a halachic discussion. Okay, good.
According to Chacham, if you just backed out the knife,
Yeah, isn't that great? In other words, right, good.
No good, but you just backed out the knife.
Correct. Meaning, right, again, if it wasn't raised yesterday, so I'll raise it now today. The Chacham's position is a real brain teaser. It's such a brain teaser. Because what comes down now, according to the Chacham, is that if I stopped at Rove, we'd be fine. And then if you continue and you go, Hagrama, so it's no good. It's a real brain teaser. Good. Lishna Achrina. Now, in the next lines of Gemara, I'm going to read it real quickly. Because... nothing changes in these next lines of Gemara. It will be a total review of everything we just learned together. The only thing changes is that the names change over here in the second version, right, to protect the innocent. That was a joke. The names change over here just because there's another Mesorah of the same discussion but with different names, and the Gemara is always thorough in terms of making sure that if there's another Mesorah, so the Gemara, even though it's valuable real estate in the Gemara is going to bring it down, but it's all the same, so I'm going to read quickly. Lishna Achrina Amr Le Amr Avuna Amr Av Asi Machlokus B'Shehigron Shish V'Shachar Shnei Shish Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Savar Mida Dahav Echatzi Kanepagim Rabbanan Hasa Makam Shchita Achalav Makam Shchita Avah Shachar Shnei Shish V'Higam Shish Tivra Akol Kshera Da'anan Ruba Shalacha Kamo Maskev L'Rav Chista Man Leim Allah Da'u Ruba Da'asam Lav Rav Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Katanila Dilma Rav Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Katanila Amr Le Rav Yosef Atu Kol Ruba Da'amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Katanila Amr Le Anna Ruba D'Shchita Kamin D'Shamin Le Depligi. Okay, I just read that to be Yotze. Literally, it's the same exact discussion, just the names are different. But the discussion is exactly the same. So I can literally say, see above, for understanding that. Okay, next. Higrim shlish v'shachar shlish v'higrim shlish. Okay, so, first third, from 0 to 33, you were chutz l'makom. From 33 to 66, you were within the makom. And then from 66 to 100, you're chutz l'makom. Okay, so, whoop. Okay. I guess you can question the sobriety of the shochet, but nevertheless, so okay. Again, it's a conceptual discussion. Rav Huna Amar Rav Ksheira, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa. So the Gemara quotes now Machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, and interestingly, of course, they're both quoting Rav on this. But it's the Machlokes whether or not it's a Kasha Shchita or a Treif Shchita. So Rav Huna Amar Rav Ksheira Kinafka Chiyusa B'Shchita Kanafka. And now what Rav Huna is doing is basically saying the following: look. When you hit the point, and the point is marker 51, that's where the chiyus goes from the animal. So when you hit that point, where were you? You were in the makom shchita. Check. I know that the first 33% you were chutz l'makom, and the last 33% you were chutz l'makom. And even if I total that, that's 66%. So for most of the time, you were chutz l'makom. But at the critical moment, right place, right time, so good. So the shchita is a shchita kshera. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa be'inan ruba b'shchita v'leka. And Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says it's treifa because the rov has to be b'shchita. And over here the rov wasn't b'shchita. Now over here when we're talking about rov, we could talk about it in two ways. We could talk about the totality of the trachea, or we could even be talking about the first 51%. Either way, you don't have rov. If I'm looking at the first 51%, so where was I for the first 33%? Chutz l'makom. Next 18%? Within the makom. Clearly, for the most of the time, it was chutz l'makom.
So Rav Huna goes according to the chiyus, and Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav goes according to the rov.
Right. Okay, that's the tension. That's exactly the tension that exists in the Gemara over here. Now, what we're going to do, inversion. The mirror image of what we just got done discussing. Shachar shlish v'higrim shlish v'shachar shlish. So now, a third in the makom, the next third outside the makom, the last third in the makom. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Ksheira, Atu Shaila Rav Huna. So Rav Yehuda Marav says such a shechita would be a shechita kshera, because for the most of the time you were in the makom hashechita. Now they ask Rav Huna the question, and Amalu treif. Now Rav Huna thinks about it for a moment. Rav Huna says, "You know what, treif." Now Shama Rav Yehuda Ikbid. Now Rav Yehuda hears of Rav Huna's position, and Rav Yehuda is frustrated. Amar tarfino machshir machshuna tarif. Do you know what? So he's just obstinate. He's a counterculturalist. I say one thing, I say black, he says white, I say white, he says black. He's just saying the opposite of me. He doesn't really argue with me. So I'm Rav Huna Shapik HaMakbid. So Rav Huna is actually thinking about Rav Yehuda. Obviously, he respects Rav Yehuda. And he says, Rav Huna says, you know what? He's right. Number one, Chadei Yushmielei Minei Derava Anil Yushmielei. First of all, he had a Kabbalah from Rav on this last one, and I did not. So I have to really rethink my position, meaning I don't have a Masora on this. That's one. And two, Va'oda, Ikarupa Bishchita, and his point is a really strong point. The majority of the cup was done Bishchita, and so therefore it should be fine. So Amalei Rav Chista Lo Tardebach. So Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, he says, you know what? You're good. Stick to your guns. You're right. The Imkan, as we turn now to the top of your Testament base, Mafsarata Leila Kamaisa. In other words, you have to hold that position because you have to be consistent. Because my time a kamashata tikinafka chiusabekshara kanafka achanami, kinafka chiusabagrama kanafka. Meaning your whole point was based on marker 51. At marker 51, if you're within the makom, so then the shechita was good. So good. So now if I invert it, if for the first third I was in the makom, and the second third I was outside the makom, third I was in the makom. So for marker 51, where were you? You were chutz makom. That's where the chiyus goes. And if you're not in the makom, the shechita is not a good shechita. You have to be consistent. And you have to argue on both of his points. Continues the Gemara. Ikla Rav Nachman l'Sura ba minei shachar shishvigim shishvashachar shishmahu. Rav Nachman goes to the town of Sura, the yeshiva of Sura, and they ask him, what if you shecht? The first third you were in the makom, the second third you were outside, and third third you were in the makom. So Amalu Lav Haina de Rabbi Lazar ben Yuma, the Amar of Lazar ben Yuma Shchita Asuri Kamasreik Kshera Kshera. So the Gemara, so Rav Nachman's answer is it's good, meaning does the Shchita have to be a straight line going through the trachea? No. In other words, you can veer a little bit left and right or up and down and cranial caudal and whatever the case is, it's fine. So the Gemara says, wait one second. The Gemara is saying about Rav Nachman's response. V'duma b'makom shechita. So no, veering a little bit, wavering a little bit, that's only if the wave is in the makom shechita. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where part of it was within the makom shechita and part of it was outside the makom shechita. So I can't compare your halacha to what we're discussing over here. B'makom shechita ma'ala me'emar, the Gemara says, well, if the entire statement, the Rav Elazar ben Yumi, was only within the makom shechita, what could possibly be the problem? So the Gemara says, well, I could think of a problem. Maybe for shechita to be good shechita, it has to be a clean and clear shechita, right? A revelatory shechita. The way Rashi describes the words mufura'as, megula, vinikeres. Something which is recognizable. If I'm going a straight line in, so as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, so the neck starts separating, and you have a clean cut. What's better than a clean cut? But if I start going in and start waving and woo, so it's not straight. So maybe the Gemara is entertaining the idea. Maybe it's not good. And so what the Chiddush is that no, even not even, but in such a scenario that would be good. But that doesn't speak to our discussion. Our discussion is that in your wave. So one of your waves actually takes you outside of the makom shechita. It's different. Yasav Rabbi Abba Chari de Rav Kana, Yasav Rav Kana Kamei de Rav Yehuda, Yasav Vikamar. So you have a series of Amarim sitting in Shir in the general positions in which we describe when we have such a get together. Right, one's in the second row, one's in the first row. The other one's giving Shir. Shachar Shishvigrim Shishva Shachar Shishmau. And so once again, it's our discussion: first third in, second third out, third third in the makom shechita. Amalei shechita so kshera. Shechita is good. Hegrim shlish v'shachar shlish v'hegrim shlish ma'u. Amalei shechita so psula. What if I invert that? Where now the middle third is the one that's in the makom shechita. So shechita is no good. So shachar b'makom nekev ma'u. What if I shecht where there's a hole already existed in the trachea? Amalei shechita kshera. Shechita is good. Shachar upaga bo nekev ma'u. So, but what if I shecht and I approach the hole that's in the trachea? Amalei shechita so psula. So he says shechita is no good. So Azar Rabbi Abba Amar coming to Rabbi Lazar. So now, as they went over these halachic rulings, they kicked it around and they brought it to Rabbi Lazar. Azar Rabbi Lazar Amar coming to Rabbi Yochanan. got sent to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Mishna. He says, I don't understand what's the difference. And he's really focusing on the latter cases. So Amalei Shachar b'makom nekev nasa kemisha shachar ove kochavim v'gamar Yisrael. Shachar upagabo nekev nasa kemisha shachar Yisrael v'gamar ove kochavim. So he says, look, I'll explain to you the difference. If let's say there already existed some perforation in the trachea, and you're now just simply following that perforation, you're following that hole. So in other words, where you start is in the hole, so you're not actually cutting, you're just going in the hole, and now you continue. That's fine. It'd be no different than the guy starting the shechita and you finishing off, which would be fine. Again, as long as the critical moment of shechita, marker 51, is done while the knife is in the hand of a Jew, you're good. Conversely, if let's say there already was a perforation, you started on the non-perforated side, and you just simply meet the perforation. And again, this is a more conceptual Gemara. Let's assume that the perforation begins at the 51st marker. So now that would be analogous to you starting the shechita, handing the knife over to a guy, and him now completing the shechita, and that would, of course, be no good. To which the Gemara says, Kari ala ove kochavim ove kochavim. So Rashi says, don't translate the Gemara that he's calling him a guy. Just simply say, the way to understand the Gemara right now is, I don't want to hear the analogy. Like, stop using the ove kochavim analogy. It doesn't speak to me. Amar Rava, please wait. Let's finish the back and forth. Amar Rava Shapikari Alei Ove Kochavim Ove Kochavim. So he says, no, you know what? I like that. I like that response. Why? Bishlam Ahasa Midah Avalei Yisrael Lemishchat Ruba Avalo Shachat. So look, when I have a Jew shechting, the requirement of a Jew shechting Rove, and he doesn't, Kinafke Chiyus Abiyad Dove Kochavim Kanafka. So that means to say that when the Chiyus goes, and again, Chiyus goes at marker 51, so the knife is in the hand of a non-Jew, and as we learned earlier in the Masechta, such a shechita would be a shechita psula. Ela hachemichti mishcha shachit mali b'makom nekev mali paga bo nekev. So if he's shechting, so if the Jew is shechting, so what difference does it make whether he starts with the perforation or he meets the perforation? In either event, you're having a Jew shech the animal. And so I really don't see the difference between the two cases. And so on the question of where there exists already some hole within the trachea, and the question of whether he starts with the hole or he greets and meets the hole, in either event, the Gemara has a debate amongst the Amoraim whether or not that should be considered a shechita psula or in fact a shechita kshera. Okay, we're going to stop here at this point in time. Tomorrow we'll start with the Mishnah. Comparison of shechita and malika of a bird. Tomorrow, big discussion of whether shechita's birds are a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. Major sugya coming up tomorrow.